3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, Mickey Ryan, Kirk Herbstreit in studio. Kirk, what's up? How are you?
How you guys doing?
I'm doing well, man. You don't have to go very far with the NFL draft this year, man.
When we left Dallas last year, they said, hey, don't say anything, but there's a really great chance that Nashville's going to host next year. And I was like, wow. What? It was between Nashville and I can't remember one other city. And I left there. It was the first time I'd really done the draft. It was last year. When Gruden went back to the NFL to coach with the Raiders, they asked me to take that that seat. And so when they told me that, I assumed they wanted me to come back this year. So, yeah, when they said Nashville, it's great, great. I don't have to travel, no hotel, stay at home, hopefully have some Little League baseball with me and you and the team.
Yeah, so. let's hope. I mean,
it's been the rain out.
Yeah.
It's been a grind.
Well, so last year when you told me about that idea, I thought, this is great because, like, I love the draft and everything, and they get all these NFL guys that dive into all the numbers and the analytics and all these things. But I like having the college guys that have seen it and seen them on the field live in person, not on tape necessarily, but also on tape. And I thought that was an added thing that worked really well.
Yeah, I personally don't know how to do much of anything except just be myself. So when they asked me to be on the draft, there's Mel Kiper to my right and Lewis Riddick to my left. And those guys, like you said, they watch college football, but they watch more NFL football. So they do a ton of film work from December, January, all the way up to the draft. Whereas if you ask me about Baker Mayfield, I go back to, man, I remember when he transferred from Texas Tech and he was a first time starter and he stepped in big game at Baylor. I'm thinking about memories that I have of all these players. And so I just talk more about the player as he developed in college and now looking at him as a finished product and his strengths and potential weaknesses. And so that's what I did last year. This year, it's very different. There's going to be your typical kind of ESPN, what everybody traditionally thinks of with Mel Kiper part of and Lewis Riddick. I think Booger McFarland will be on that show, kind of in the role I was last year. And also you'll have Trey Wingo. So you'll have your normal ESPN show. And then they're doing an ABC show, which will be on Thursday night and Friday night, first round, and then on the second and third round for Friday. And that's going to be College Game Day. So the entire game day crew, with Reese Davis and Dez and Coach and myself. And we'll be down at, I think I said, 2nd Avenue and Broadway, kind of right in the middle of it. And we'll be following the draft. But Robin Roberts from ABC will also be a part of our show, and she'll be doing some features. And I think she's going to be up on top of one of the bars, kind of looking over, I think, kind of where you're going to be hanging out.
I think where we are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she'll be a part of some of the storytelling. And we're going to give more of a college spin on it. It's going to be not about, boy, this guy fits perfectly in the three technique of the Chiefs. You know, it's none of that junk. It's going to be more of, it's more of just, hey, we're talking, it's college. Just think of College Game Day, but for the draft. That's what the ABC show will be.
Okay, so ABC, kind of a different look into the draft from an ESPN, from I'm sure there'll be something on the Deuce and you, and I love all the different aspects of it. What do you look forward to the most in this kind of coverage, just because it is a little different than what you do during season on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, I saw this last year in person in Dallas, that they put on a party better than anybody. I mean, I spare no expense. I mean, you walk in to, well, this year it's going to be outside on Lower Broadway. And when you see, I know there was some controversy about it. I think it was the cherry blossoms, and I guess they worked around that. But when you see the,
thanks for bringing that back up.
Oh, Lord. I'm like, it's just trees.
Yeah.
Fine. Let's go.
Yeah,
they worked around
good.
It though, right?
Good,
they,
yeah.
But when you see the stage and you see what they do to put on this show, and to see it in person, you're just blown away. You really are. And this city will just be a perfect fit for the celebration, because it's really a celebration. These guys are being drafted. You know, I did Clemson spring game the other day, and a lot of these guys were like, man, it's just weird. I don't belong to a team. I'm just kind of waiting, you know, and that's why it's a big celebration. Not only are they drafted and fulfilling a dream, but now they actually know who they're playing for. So it's a big night. And I'm excited for the city of Nashville to have a chance to host it. It's going to be a huge week. Isn't the Music City Marathon in town as well?
Yes, it's Saturday.
Yep.
And that alone is a big deal in this town.
What else
town,
we got? So. Jimmy Buffett.
Could the Preds potentially be all the way out
Wednesday,
there? Game seven would be Wednesday.
Wednesday night.
You already got that figured out? You're already assuming it's going to be out there?
Game three, I just felt like this felt like a seven-game series to me. And here we go.
I heard you guys, we're just going to choose a forget about game four.
Oh, it's done. Flush. That went,
you and I were together watching. It was like, we're watching our kids play. He's got the phone out. 1-0 They're fine, dude. They're fine. 5 seconds later, 2-0 I'm like, what?
Five seconds.
3-0 Okay.
Brent said there was another dad out there. It was like, hey, don't tell me anything. I'm dark on this. I'm going to watch it later. And how do you let that guy ruin his night later?
I know.
Did somebody just tell him? Hey, we debated that.
4-0 I was almost going to go over because I'm a big DVR guy myself, whether it's the Reds or Blue Jackets, whatever. So I try real hard. You know, you get these updates on your phone and you're like, oh my God, I got all the way near the end of the game and I get an update. So I was going to go over there and say, it's just not worth it. You know, just cut your losses.
No, I know. I texted, you're a big Columbus Blue Jackets fan. They pulled the huge upset. First series win ever. And first time President's Trophy team ever got swept in the first round. All of those. And I texted you. And then I immediately thought, oh, crap. What if he DVR'd it? But you were there.
Yeah, I was there. I went to game three and to game four up there, which it really reminded me. Because Columbus and Nashville very similar, even though Nashville, they used to be in the same division. They used to kind of own the Blue Jackets. I mean, it was just every year they would beat them. But being here for 8 years and watching, I can't remember if it was 2 years or 3 years ago when the Preds had their big run. They knocked off the Blackhawks.
2 years ago, yeah.
Everyone was like, oh my God, what's going on? This is crazy. And then they win another series. It kind of had that feeling because you got to remember, the Blue Jackets have never won a playoff series.
It's crazy.
Ever. And they're down 3-0 in the first period against a team that had broken every regular season NHL record ever and looked like it was just going to be a debacle. And they flipped it around quickly in the next two periods and ended up winning game one in Tampa. And I think you had mentioned the confidence and the momentum that they picked up and how dangerous that can be in a seven-game series in playoff hockey, which I think it was on display, at least in that series, and I think in the Islanders and the Penguins, too. I think both those series, you can see that.
Talking about travel, how do you do it? How do you do it during football season? Going to game day, going to do the ABC primetime game. You've got kids playing sports.
Friday.
Which I know you work that into. That's important to you. How do you do that, man?
Just love, like what you guys do. I mean, when you love it, it's you know, I don't want to say it's easy because there's wear and tear in your body, but that time of the year, I can sleep for 2 hours and be fine because there's so much adrenaline in going on in your body that it's weird. You know, I don't think you could maintain that for 12 months, but for four, it's just, you know, whether I'm going, getting back to Nashville on a Friday, you know, I'll go to, I don't know, Ann Arbor or Tallahassee or wherever to do my work on Thursday and Friday, and then I'll fly back to Nashville to go to the NBA games, watch my boys, and then right after the game, fly back to wherever game day is, and then do game day, and a lot of times do game day, and then fly to
Washington State or whatever,
right after that. So it's a little chaotic, but again, man, I could have a real job, you know, and then you guys could have a real job. And that would really suck. So I'll take the job that I have and I love, and you know, the wear and tear that comes with it. I have no problem doing it.
Game day is such a phenomenon. Again, it's Kirk Herbstreit, our guest. It's such a phenomenon. Like, as college football fans, just hearing Big and Rich and that show starting, and then Rich gives his monologue, and there's always a shot, and it widens out, and the crowd's there, and then you see the quad somewhere, wherever you guys are. I mean, I have goosebumps. What is it like when that thing fires off every Saturday morning?
It never gets old. You know, this will be like my 24th year on the show, and a lot of people asked me, you know, do you get tired of it? Are you ready to move to the NFL or do something else? And that what you just described, and you're talking about a guy who grew up in Ohio in the 70s when Archie Griffin, who won two Heisman trophies, dad coached at Ohio State. He coached with Woody Hayes. He coached with Bo Schembechler. My dad was at the beginning with Bo as a cradle of coaches at Miami of Ohio. Like I don't know if it's possible to be any more college football than me. And from the time I was 5 years old, kind of like your son Connor, like I am just college football for me is just shoot it into my veins. And I don't care if it's the SEC, the Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10. It's just, I love the passion of that sport. I love the traditions of that sport. I love everybody has something a little bit different. The way people tailgate is interesting in the South versus the Big Ten. And everything about it. It just never gets old. So when you throw College Game Day into wherever the scene of the week is, for me personally, it doesn't ever get old. These players leave and they go to the NFL or they graduate. Here comes the next wave of players, and it just continues to go on and on and on and on. And I just happen to have a front row seat for it. So, man, I love it. One thing we try to do on our show is deflect. A lot of people want to talk about game day and its growth, and we're very quick not to like take a bow and, hey, how are you? We're great. We do the opposite. Like we think we are a beneficiary of covering the best sport in the country. You know, if we did this for the NFL or we did it for MLB or we did it for the NBA, we wouldn't be who we are. So I think we are who we are. We might have something to do with it. Hopefully we try our best, but we are who we are because of the fans of college football, the traditions, the passion of college football. That's why College Game Day is what it is.
Kirk Herbstreit with us in studio. More with Kirk when we come back. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Visiting with Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN, ABC, and the NFL draft in Nashville. And so there are going to be multiple opportunities for you, options for which you can consume this product. And ESPN will do their thing with Mel Kiper and those guys, and ABC with Robin Roberts and the Game Day guys. Will be a lot of fun. So, Kirk, sitting across from Mel Kiper last year, what was that experience like?
You know what? He is as humble and nice of guy.
He seems like the most intense guy.
I know. That's what you think. But he was awesome. I've known him for years. But it was the first time I just did the first round last year. And he's just very gracious with, you know, you guys work together and you've worked with other people. And when you're the new guy, I tend to err on just kind of sitting back and waiting for my turn, and assuming Mel would just come kind of based on what you said, his personality on air. I thought he'd just come powering through, and he really was not that way at all. And man, I had a ball. I had a great time last year. It was fun, and I'm looking forward to doing what we're going to do this year. Back, it's like going back to the I formation, you know, with the game day guys, with the whole crew there this spring.
What all went into that to say, okay, we did this last year and it worked? And having you guys who watch college football and inherently know these players, to me, was brilliant and long overdue for draft coverage. But what went into, okay, well, that worked, then let's take it to this next step this year?
You know, from my understanding, the NFL got involved and actually requested College Game Day.
How about that?
Yeah, yeah. So they
we
said,
like Game Day too. Can we just have that for our draft? Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And they put it on ABC, which is even big really time. Cool on the big network. Yeah. So I think ESPN responded to that when the NFL made that request. And for me, I remember calling the national championship, being out at Santa Clara. And at that time, that request was not made. So for me, it was, hey, ABC is going to have a show. ESPN is going to have a show. We're not really sure how we're going to mix it up. You know, which show do you want to be involved with? It's kind of up to you. And then as time went by, you know, January, February, March, that's when it became more, hey, you no longer have a choice. They want game day, and you know, we want you on the game day show, so we're going to put you on the ABC show. So I think I'm anxious to see the response from people, because everybody is a critic and everybody's going to analyze, you know, the NFL Network's coverage and ESPN's coverage and now ABC's coverage. I'm very anxious to see what the feel is by people after they have a chance to kind of bounce around and move around to different channels.
To me, that's like donuts, though. Like, I never had a donut I didn't like. It's all draft coverage. It's just a different kind of donut. Who cares? It's all donuts.
I'm with you, man.
I mean, it's all great.
I'm the same way.
Give me all the donuts you can.
I'd be the same way at home myself.
So you mentioned 24 years with Game Day. Do you remember like your first show and like how nervous were you? What were you feeling?
Man, first of all, there was about as many people at that show as are in this studio right now. I mean, it was crazy how different it was.
Really?
In 1996, she was a sophomore in high school. You know, I mean, it was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. And Game Day, even though as a player, I watched Game Day when Craig James was on the show. Right. And they didn't have quite the reputation of traveling the way we do now. And so people knew about the personalities, but it didn't have the reputation. Oh my God, College Game Day is coming to this campus. It wasn't close to that. And so, you know, I'm trying to remember the first show that we went on the road. It might have been Colorado. You know, it was the last time we were there, I think. It was 1996. It was Boulder, Colorado. Michigan played there. And literally there was 50 people, just kind of almost 20 of them probably like, what's going on over
just
here?
Just stumbled on set. Yeah,
like, went for a morning jog and all of a sudden, somebody's doing TV over here. And you know what that's like, right?
Yes.
And so we did it. And Corso back then, he would ask one of the guys on the stage, hey, you see that guy wearing that silly hat over there? Hey, go ask him if I can put it on. And see, he would just, end of the show, he would just put like a ball cap on at the end of the show to make his pick.
Yeah.
Until, you know, I think middle of that year, we went to Ohio State and he asked my wife, Allison, to go and ask the cheerleading coach if he could put Brutus on. And I asked Allison, I think the lady's name was Judy, who was the head coach. And at first she said, absolutely not.
That's taboo in a lot of places.
Yeah,
for people
yeah.
who don't know,
yeah.
the mascot head yeah, yeah. stays on the mascot's body.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's taboo.
Not kidding. Like, it's not fun kidding. It's dead serious.
Yes.
Yeah. And so she said no. And then I went back to Coach Corso and I was like, they said no. And I didn't have any idea what was ahead of us.
You were the middle
just,
man.
Yeah, I'm just like, I got nothing.
Sorry, Coach.
And so I came, he goes, oh man, you know, ask her one more time. You know, do we need to get the athletic director involved? And so we went back one more time. And I think Coach Judy, she went to the athletic director and he gave it a thumbs up. And that was the first time he put on a mascot head. And in fact, from that point on, he's worn a mascot head for every pick he's made, except for two schools. One of them won't let him. And I think it's Aubie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Babs.
Hey, it's
what is
sacred.
Wrong with you?
Because he has a weird head, Aubie does. It like bounces around. But Aubie, I don't think they don't allow that. And then Michigan, so what he does, he puts on a helmet without a face mask, and he looks like, you know, 1952.
Oh,
you know, it looks really... And
he looks like the Heisman Trophy.
Exactly. And he does the Heisman Trophy.
Yes, I know.
It's hilarious. But Auburn and Michigan are the only two that I'm aware of that he doesn't put on the headgear.
As a guy that grew up as an Ohio State fan, you mentioned the family connections and everything. What was it like to play them your senior year? I know the game ended in a tie, but you set a record with 28 completions.
Yeah, it was emotional for me because I kind of saw all of my life coming to that last day, and it was like seeing the colors. It'd be like growing up an Auburn or an Alabama fan and all of a sudden being on the field and being a captain, and when they announced the senior day, you know, you're the last one to come out through the tunnel. And you know, it was very, very emotional for me to be in that rivalry and have the blessing to be in a position to be able to be out there and to be involved in it. So yeah, it was almost like back in that era, the Cold War was like real. You know, look, nuclear war was very, very serious. I remember going to bed praying at night, just, God, please hold off on the world disintegrating until just let me play at Ohio State. I just want to be able to play at Ohio. It was that big a deal to me. So to be able to actually, it was a dream to be able to do that. And so, it was very emotional. It was cool. It's fun.
We talk a lot about how much the college game has changed and evolved over the years. What maybe is your favorite part of that evolution? You know, I feel like we talk a lot about the negative part of the evolution of the college game, but what do you like about how the game has changed?
What I like is just the strategy of it. You know, I really like the kind of the run pass option, the aggressive offensive football that we see now. I'm a fan of that. I love to watch Oklahoma, for example, with Baker Mayfield and 2 years ago or last two or three, 4 years ago. And then what Kyler Murray did this year. Like I love to watch that. I love to watch a guy like Nick Saban, who has got a great history of success of winning with defense and running game and kind of shortening the game and special teams and saying, you know what, guys, I don't understand a lot of this spread formation stuff, but I'm going to go to it myself. I'm going to hire Lane Kiffin and I'm going to try to figure out how to run this offense. And it worked for him.
Evolve or die.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just like watching how strategies kind of come and go and how different guys have success. I think it's a fascinating time that we're in where Cliff Kingsbury is part of that air raid kind of coaching tree and it cannot do well enough to prevent being fired. Right. In Texas Tech in Lubbock. And he goes to USC for about 2 weeks. And all of a sudden an NFL, think about this. If this were the 90s or the 80s or whenever, then an NFL franchise is going to hire a head coach who just got fired because he can't win six games in Lubbock, Texas, and like, you're perfect. Well, that's just right. The guy we need to be our head coach. I mean, that kind of says a lot about where we are right now with the success of Patrick Mahomes and coming out of Texas Tech, coming into the Chiefs, Baker Mayfield, again, leaving a Lincoln Riley offense, success at Cleveland. There are other offenses, the Rams, the Bears, the Eagles. A lot of people are running the RPO, and the college offense is filtering up to the NFL game. Yeah. And so I think it's just a fascinating time that we're kind of in right now in the sport.
Kyler Murray, such an unbelievable athlete. And we saw him at the Super Bowl, and he's a tiny dude. Like, narrow shoulders, all those things. And he may go number one to that guy you were just talking about because of those things that you were talking about with the evolution of that offense.
It's more about, I think, a fit in that case. I don't know. You know, sometimes we all get caught up. Who's the best quarterback in this year's draft? And I don't think you really can ask that question anymore. I think it's more about who's the best fit for that team that has a need. Now, here's a team that just drafted a quarterback in the first round last year.
Right.
And now you could bring in a coach who maybe could adjust his system to Josh Rosen, but at the same time, I could adjust my system and it might take a year or two to get this guy to figure it out, or I could have that guy right there who could come in right now and do what we need to do and athletically be superior to Josh Rosen. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't know how you pass up if you're the Cardinals. I don't know how you pass up on Kyler Murray and you just got to make a trade. I don't know when I don't know if they do it the day before the draft or they're on the clock and they do it then. But I would make the trade and get rid of Rosen and bring in Kyler Murray. The kid's a once in a generation athlete, top 10 MLB draft pick.
Right. Yeah,
and he's potentially the first pick in the draft. I mean, any of our lives?
No, I mean, you're a baseball player.
I know.
Player.
I know.
I mean, but you can relate.
Yeah, that's that's superior.
Yeah.
I mean, Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, you guys that have done it, never at that level. Now, we'll see if he ends up becoming a great pro, but as far as credentials coming in, just freakish athletic skills.
Kirk Herbstreit with us. Another segment with Kirk, analyst on College Game Day. ESPN and ABC are going to blow it out with the NFL draft coverage. Coming up live in Nashville on Thursday, 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mickey.
A lot of you out there, you look in the mirror every day and you see yourself and maybe you kind of don't know. Maybe some things have changed, possibly with the old hairline up there. And, you see some buddies you haven't seen in a long time and everybody starts joking about it. You think, gosh, they're talking about me. Oh, man. Well, what can I do? Well, there's PAI Medical for that. Why not be the best looking one of your crew? Why not be the guy that looks like you used to look, the guy that looks like you want to look? And ladies, it applies to you too, because PAI, they help men and women. I always tell people, just go to wegrowhair.com. That's their website. And when you go to the website, you can see the videos of all the different types of options. It's not all just surgery. It's not all full transplants. I mean, maybe you're just starting to thin. There's laser therapy for men and women. Maybe you're a little bit further along. They have other options. So no matter where you are in this journey, PAI can help you again. WeGrowHair.com. See real men, real women, and their great results with Michael Ramsey and his team. Or you can call them 615-376-6010. Again, that's PAI Medical, WeGrowHair.com.
HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Daugherty, Don Davenport, Mickey Ryan, Kirk Herbstreit in studio for one more segment. I know you do a lot of speaking engagements and saw where you were in Columbus last week.
Yeah.
What kinds of things do you like to talk about when you go address groups?
Yeah, well, a lot of times I think I'm going to speak to the Alabama team this summer and there's different teams I speak to. A lot of times it's about maybe talking about the media. I recommend how they talk with the media, social media, things like that. In this case, Ohio State does something called Real Life Wednesday, where they bring in, could be anybody that comes in and talks to the team and about a variety of topics. And in my case, it was more of a kind of a Q&A format with Coach Day, the new head coach, and the players. And one of the things we got into was just the idea of paying players, because I know with Jay Billis and a lot of people, that seems to be a hot topic. And I don't know how you guys feel about that. But to me, my message for college athletes, if you go to UK basketball or you go to even a Vandy, wherever you are, I think players sometimes have their head in the sand a little bit. I think they're hearing so much on social media that, they're being exploited and being taken advantage of that they they kind of miss out on opportunities that, that are afforded to them that, that the average student doesn't have the opportunity to seek out, whether it's going to a dinner where you're at a dinner with a bunch of alumni and boosters of the program. Some guys put headphones in and just kind of, they'll go to a table and they won't really interact with people. And my message to these players was, you're basically on an assembly line as your career from a high school player to if you go to the NFL, whatever it is. And it's up to you to recognize that as you're moving down the line, there's people coming in behind you. And it's up to you to choose to take advantage of taking advantage of the system. You can either let the system take advantage of you, which is what Jay Billis is describing, or you can take advantage of the system and the opportunities that are presented to you. Take your headphones off, talk to people, be gracious, be humble, you know, shake hands. You might, three or four guys a year, you might be able to have a relationship with, send them an email. Hey, it was great to meet you today. Make an unfavorable impression and be humble why you're this quote unquote star. If you do that 3 years or 4 years or 5 years of your college career, and all of a sudden you either don't make the NFL or you do and you play for 5 years or 10 years, and all of a sudden you've stayed in touch with these 15 or 20 different business owners or different people, and all of a sudden you've got a great Rolodex of people that you can go back to. Those guys are waiting to be able to help a guy like you if you play your cards right. So I think so often we hear about the players, these poor college players. I just think sometimes we're not looking at it from an entire, I guess, lens of the real scope, at least in my mind.
So to that point, pay the players, figure out how to do it, and then what? Almost like you were saying during the break, that's like a Band-Aid.
To me, that's a Band-Aid. Yeah. Paying players is a Band-Aid, because I think we need, what about players that, what is it, 85, 90% of players are broke when they're done playing? Even the ones that, the 2% that make it, the 1% that make it to the NBA or NFL, they're broke. So why don't we spend more energy and time talking about educating these guys about real life things, and the 98% that aren't going to make the NFL and the NBA, let's get them prepared for life as opposed to what's in it for me? How come this isn't fair? I'm not getting any money. And I'm not saying that they don't, they get cost of attendance now for the student athletes. Mm-hmm. They get Pell Grants in many cases. I mean, they're getting a lot of money. To act as if that they're just limping along. You know, it's Tuesday. Can I have a sandwich, please? I'm sorry. That's the perception, and it's just so false.
It's unlimited food.
Oh
nowadays.
My God!
Like,
they're hooked up. They're hooked up, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't be paid a little something. I'm just saying that that's not going to fix the problems. That's to me a Band-Aid. The players need to be taught on how to take advantage of the opportunities that they have that are afforded to them that a lot of people out there don't have, you know? And I kind of resent the, oh, I feel bad, these poor guys, I don't know how they manage, because they got it really, really good. I'll just tell you, I didn't grow up with a lot of money. If I didn't have a scholarship to go play at Ohio State, I would have joined the Marines. Like, my parents couldn't have paid for me to go to college. So I get a little defensive when people act like, it's college scholarship. Who cares? You know, it's like, really? Like, to me, Paris Island or, you know, play football. I kind of like football. I think it's kind of a cool opportunity to go be able to play college football or whatever sport you're playing.
We are living in a whole new world of players' rights, and that payment of players is something that keeps coming up. But like the transfer portal,
that
thing's full of people. People, there's some people, you know, somebody's jumping in it every day, every few hours. What do you think about that and where that is, and what's the ultimate, you know, end game for how that's going to work?
I get it. I don't understand. I go back to me. They didn't have stars back then, but there's me from basically the middle of the country to the east. My senior year was me. According to Parade Magazine, middle of the country to the west, a guy named Todd Marinovich. He and I were seniors the same year. He went to USC, I went to Ohio State. So I was expected to be like 4-year starter, 3-time All-American, few Rose Bowls, probably be a first round pick. I was supposed to be that guy. I fell flat on my face, embarrassed, humiliated. Every time you go back home, what's going on? Why aren't you playing? Da, da, da. And it's easy to see. That's very painful to deal with. It's easy to see, I'm out of here. I'm going to go over here and go play where they run a different offense. So I understand it, but my dad didn't let me do that. I wanted to go play baseball. I was like, I'm out. He's like, you're not. You're going to go through spring football and you're going to keep fighting.
Because you made a commitment.
Yeah, yeah, that. And I think he just saw a little bit of a different view than I did. I saw a two-year window. My dad saw a 20, 30-year window. He saw the benefit of being a graduate from Ohio State. He saw, you know, not letting your son quit. And so for me, I wasn't provided the opportunity to quit. Maybe as an 18, 19, 20-year-old on my own, I would have. But my dad didn't let me. And then what ended up happening to me, and it doesn't always work out this way, is I stayed, voted captain unanimously by my teammates, voted MVP unanimously by my teammates, most inspirational player by my teammates. And all those life lessons that I learned in that process of just being disappointed, being embarrassed, being discouraged, and then digging out of that and having the perseverance and the work ethic and just learning that life lesson, that's why I get so, like, I understand why guys leave, because they're off to greener pastures, but I feel like they're missing out on an opportunity to really grow as a person. And so I'm not like, yeah, man, go get yours. I'm not that guy, because I think you're missing on an opportunity that's bigger than just the sport of football.
Kirk Herbstreit, I guess. On the way out, I wanted to ask you, I've never asked you this, game day is what it is. It's awesome. And as you said earlier, the focus isn't necessarily on you guys. It's on the sport. It's on the school that you're at. It's on the fans that are there, which is great. I've got to ask you, Lee Corso, what does Lee Corso mean to you?
Oh, man. Trying to get me to cry in here as I walk out.
He's our Tom Rinaldi.
I see that. When I first started, he was a character, you know. I knew him the way all you guys know him. And then going to photo shoots and commercials and things we do in the summer before the season starts, year after year after year after year after year, you know, you're sitting next to a guy and you start to get to know the real person. And all of a sudden, you ask him questions. And I started to call him Yoda, because I'd ask him this real complex problem as a 28-year-old, and he'd sit there and listen to me, honestly, like Don Corleone. And then he would just give me like a sentence, you know, and it would be brilliant. And then I would do it again, and it would be brilliant. And it was just, and I'm not the only one. A lot of the guys on our crew, a lot of people go to him for advice. He's that guy. So he's so much more than, to me, he's the greatest character, you know, sports personality that we have in TV, maybe ever. And he's so much more to me on a personal level. He's another father figure, basically. And he's just a guy that has great perspective on, you know, you get emotional and radical when you're growing in your career and you want to just go and tell him, you know, I can't believe this happened. He's almost just like, take it easy. Come on over here. Let's talk about it. He's that guy. So where he and I have really grown is away from the camera and away from the public eye. That's where, you know, we've become, you know, inseparable, really. Just it's just a tight relationship.
Well, and it shows.
It does show. And Coach just signed a...
Just signed a new two-year two-year contract.
Love it.
83 years old, and he just keeps swinging. I talked to him today. He said he's trying to beat Amos Alonzo Stagg. Can you hear him saying that? I was like, yes. He's like, 93. That's what I'm going for. I was like, all right. Just keep going, man. I love it.
Aaron on Twitter, love the dialogue. Kirk Herbstreit bringing the truth on 3HL. Amen, Kirk. You hit the nail on the head regarding paying college players. Great stuff regarding your college career, too. You had a great perspective there. And also, while Kirk and Game Day killed it in Knoxville, 98 early days.
Oh, man. 98 Tennessee was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was a breakthrough moment for the Vols. You know, they ended up knocking off Florida that year, and Sean Bryson had a big touchdown late in that game. And of course, you remember the Arkansas quarterback who slipped and fell.
Sterner.
Kept their dreams alive, and then they went out to Phoenix and knocked off Florida State. Nobody thought they could do it, and they shocked the world. That was a huge year. That got them on the map. And that's all when I think of Tennessee football, that's the bar.
Right.
And so to me, it's been since 01 that Tennessee's been that. You know, but Travis Stevens, that team that they had in 01, they should have gone to the national title and played Miami instead of Nebraska. But it's been that. Think about that. It's almost 20 years since Tennessee's been the Tennessee that their fans expect him to be.
The fan base is aching, man. What do you think about Jeremy Pruitt?
I like him. I mean, he obviously learned a lot with Coach Saban. He's bringing that model, the way Kirby's done to Athens, and I think he's got a chance to have a lot of success. I like the Vols. I like, people think I don't. It's just I have to talk real about the results on the field. But as far as the brand, how can you not like their brand? How can you not like the passion? It's kind of like the Cleveland Browns. It's the same kind of desperate fan base that wants their team to be good so badly. And hopefully he can get them going again. We'll see if this is the year they make, you know, take a few more steps in the right direction. But it just still feels like when you compare them to Georgia, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done for them to ultimately get where they're rubbing shoulders with the big boys in the SEC East. But hopefully he'll keep recruiting very well in this area and around the state, around this region, and get Tennessee back to where their fans expect them to be.
Is it still Clemson and Alabama next year?
Until somebody,
why not?
I mean, until somebody gets up there. I mean, Oklahoma with Jalen Hurts, I think, is an interesting team this year.
How much swagger does he? I watched some of the spring game, huh? I mean, you see more personality out of him now. It's kind of cool to see.
And Oklahoma encourages that. You know, that's something that Lincoln Riley loves to see. Obviously, Baker Mayfield, Kyler. So they've got abundance of talent around that position. But until he, you know, what he did in Atlanta in the SEC championship game was exciting to bring him back. And he worked through his progressions. But that's the mystery. Can he do that for 12, 13, 14 games? Be consistent. He can throw the ball 80 yards. It's not his arm strength. It's working through progressions, making reads, and being accurate with the throw. I mean, if he does that, then Oklahoma will be a team that could threaten both Bama. It'd be funny if he ended up playing Alabama potentially in a semifinal. That would be hype.
Man, the storyline.
That would be good.
What about your Buckeyes post-Urban, post-Haskins? What do they have this year?
Well, I think, again, they're at that rare kind of rarefied air that allows them to, every game they play, they're equal or better in talent. Justin Fields is we keep going to the quarterback, and here's the Georgia transfer. If you went by the way he looked in the spring game, clearly there's still a long way for him to go. You go from Dwayne Haskins, who, if he got back and there was an open receiver, he found him and he put it right on the money. That's why he's going to be probably a top five pick. And here comes Justin Fields, who has tremendous ability, but it's not just turnkey. It's not just, oh, okay, you're highly touted and you went to Georgia and you're a great player. Come on in. You'll do the same. It doesn't always work like that. He can run, but to make that offense really go, he's got to be able to throw. And right now he looks more like a Braxton Miller running, more of a running threat. And for him to take Ohio State up there with Alabama and Clemson and Oklahoma, their passing game will have to get better. And they lost their top three wide receivers, who will be getting ready for the draft next week here in Nashville.
127 days, 3 hours, and 15 minutes away from August 24th, baby.
I love it.
Florida and Miami. I cannot wait.
That's on the 24th now, right?
Yes.
You adjusted your countdown down to that?
Yes, August 24th. Yeah.
I love it.
Don't cheat her.
What an awesome way to open up college football.
Oh,
right?
Man. And we don't really, you know, we get Miami and Florida State. We get Florida and Florida State.
Why don't they all play every year?
I wish they did. Yeah. I mean, Miami and Florida's a great matchup. It's the only game. It's like week zero, I think they're calling it. It's the only game that day, and they decided to move it back. It's in Orlando, and you know, I'm assuming we'll all be down there and celebrating the beginning of the season. And you know, like you said, it's you if you look at all the preseason matchups, that's probably as intriguing of a preseason matchup as any game that's going to be played the next week or the week after. So, yeah, we hit the ground running for the sport next year in August.
At Kirk Herbstreit on Twitter. Kirk, thank you for the time, man.
Yeah,
it's been fun. And we're looking forward, obviously, to Thursday and Friday on ABC, the game day crew, the ESPN coverage. You guys are going to blow this thing out.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing all the fans. The city of Nashville, congratulations on getting the draft. ESPN and ABC look forward to being here, kind of celebrating it, and good luck to the Preds. I hope they get it done in game five tomorrow here and maintain that home ice and wrap up this series. I'd love to see them win it.
He's Kirk Herbstreit. When we come back, we'll ask you, how confident are you that the Preds will get that win in game five? That's next, 3HL 104.5 The Zone.